This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk about the Mavericks. Specifically, why does Ben Simmons get so much hate? Because we would love to have him here, right? But in the meantime, I wanted to tell you real quick, if you want to go to a fun sporting event this weekend, great for the whole family, Allen Americans. They are in the Western Conference Finals. They are multiple-time league champions in actually multiple different leagues. So Friday and Saturday night, you can get your tickets at AllenAmericans.com. I've been to the Allen Event Center. I was on the ice when this team won their very first then CHL championship. It's fun time, plus the parking is free. I know that's a big deal for people. The tickets aren't expensive. The parking is free, and it's a fun environment. So AllenAmericans.com. Now, to Ben Simmons. What is it about Ben? What brought Ben Simmons into your mind?
Okay, so we've kind of been discussing, and I know, listen, the entire Mavericks world took over everything. And that being said, I just want to add this. Mavs offseason forever. Like, if we can always have this much fun during a Mavs offseason, I'm in.
So I put this out last night. Sean and RJ, they got screwed over again because we got the Donnie Nelson news, now the Dirk news. G-Bag obviously got the Carlisle news. So tonight on Nosebleeds after the Rangers game, you're going to find out that Luka signed a Supermax. Okay. Like, it just makes sense. You distribute it to all of the shows, and that's what we do.
Except, so Sean and RJ got the Kemba Walker trade. So the NBA helped them out in that respect.
All equal things.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty even to me. But yes, the Mavspocalypse has been amazing to experience, and I'm perfectly okay with it. Hey, if Mike was right, do you want to be in the headlines all the time, Mark Cuban? There's ways to do it. Just follow Jerry's model. All these things happen.
He does so more and more every day.
Here we are in this situation. But we had been kind of going through consistently, all right, what about CJ McCollum? What about this? And I'm trying to find the right player to play alongside Luka. And I need two things. I need somebody who can stretch defensively and play multiple positions.
Yep.
And I need somebody who can create on their own whenever Luka doesn't have the ball.
Yeah.
But the biggest two problems with Ben Simmons is he can't shoot either from the free throw line or from three.
Yes.
He can get to the basket. And you know what? Your best option might just be, hey, post him up and let Luka feed him in the post, because he's a really good post player too. But there was a time, Kevin, where I would think of Ben Simmons in the model of Sam Darnold. I don't even want to touch that guy. Oh. He can't play the things that I'm going to ask him to do. But then I watch him, and the more and more I watch him, I see the things that he's capable of.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so this would look good. This would look good. He's a young player too, and Luka likes him. I don't know if you remember they were playing in that pre-All-Star game, and Luka was like, he likes the player. So I'm just trying to figure out if that's a good fit, because the idea was, oh, don't clog the lane for Luka. Don't just stay out of Luka's way. But you can't, can't have a team full of guys that just stand around and wait to be passed to.
All right. So you might be the reason that Doc Rivers had to say this, because he is tired of all people besmirching the honor of Ben Simmons.
But you guys keep this Ben Simmons narrative alive, which to me is freaking insane how good this guy is and all the things he does. Ben is not a 40-point guy. It's not what he does. He does other things for your team. And I just don't understand why that's not sinking in our city. everybody on the team doesn't have to be a scorer to help the team. Ben scores, but Ben creates scoring for us. That's what he does. So, you know, if I'm Ben at some point, I'd get tired of it. I just would, because he's just too good, and he does so many good things for this basketball team. And I keep saying it. Celebrate him. Celebrate all the stuff he does well. We don't do that enough.
He said celebrate him. And listen, I like Doc Rivers. I think he's a fantastic coach. And he went to that city and went there to bring a toughness to a young group of guys that really needed that direction that he's given them this year. And here they are in the situation they're in, which is interesting. But like, he's talking about Ben in a way that, look, he does so many other things that you probably never noticed. Now, Kevin, you've been following his career for a long time. And out of LSU, the question was, does he like basketball? Which is always a concern. I think he's proven he likes basketball, but he hasn't gotten better at three-point shooting.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he's even tried to get better at three-point shooting.
Hardly ever shoots three-pointers.
So what things does he do well, and would he be a fit with Luka?
Okay, I'm ready to answer that question, and I want this person, I pray to God that this person is now in charge of the 76ers. We hate Ben Simmons here in Philly. He never shoots the ball. Give us THJ. We could trade straight up. Oh, my God. I would do that in a heartbeat, and you would be fired from your job immediately as the head of the 76ers. All right. So Ben Simmons.
Really? That's how much of a robbery that would be?
That is an insane trade that nobody besides that person would ever make. I would. Oh, my God. I would make that trade in a heartbeat. All right. What does Ben Simmons do? First of all, Ben Simmons, he was all NBA third team last year. So last year, one of the top 15 players in the NBA. He's been all defensive first team the last 2 years. He is one of the best defenders in the league right now. One of the things you said is you want a versatile defender.
Yes.
All right. Ben Simmons is a very versatile defender. And I know I just used that word two different ways in the same sentence. Now, it's true. I will point out, it's true. He doesn't shoot three-pointers. Right now, when it comes to free throw percentage, it's abysmal. He's shooting 33% in the playoffs from the line. That is the second worst in playoff history, ahead of only Ben Wallace in 2006.
Huh.
And behind DeAndre Jordan,
big man,
in 2016, and everybody made fun of him. So his free throw shooting has been abysmal. I know people question his heart and his ability at the end of the game. I'm not here to tell you that you get Ben Simmons and now you have a new best player and the whole franchise changes. I'm here to tell you that the franchise could change because you just asked for two things. You asked for somebody who is a versatile defender and somebody who can distribute the ball when Luka is not on the floor. Every season of his career, Ben Simmons has averaged 7 or 8 assists.
Huh.
So he could be, in some cases, your primary ball handler, and he could certainly spell anytime Luka's out running the offense. And if you want defense, you are not going to find many better defensive players in the league than Ben Simmons. Oh, yeah, guess what? He can also score you 15 points a game. Now, sure, it's not going to be with a bunch of impressive deep shots or anything like that. But I'm telling you, there's a player, if he were to become available, because if the 76ers lose, they're probably going to make some more dramatic moves. But this is just...
They were talking about blowing that team up before the season.
And I honestly don't think that the Mavericks have anything that would make this trade happen. But
they wanted James Harden, right? Because they were trying to figure out how to blow that thing up in a nice way.
So this is just in response to the people who think Ben Simmons stinks. He's 24, averages 15 points a game, 7 to 8 assists a game, 7 to 8 rebounds a game, and he's one of the best defenders in the league.
From 361, he's a younger DeRozan, and everybody wants DeMar DeRozan right now. He's actually a better defender than DeRozan.
A much better defender.
From the 817, Ben is the ultimate PF to pair with Luka. Covers defensive insufficiencies, provides an athletic rim roller that Luka loves, and can handle the ball better than 95% of the league. From the 214, when a coach has to say what Doc just had to say about Ben Simmons, you know you have a problem. Fans are not idiots.
Okay. I agree. Fans are not idiots. But I think in this instance, fans sometimes look at the wrong thing. Now, I will point out a pretty damning statistic for Ben Simmons in just a second. He's been really terrible at shooting free throws in this series. He doesn't shoot three-pointers, or to what you started with, seem to have any interest in learning how to shoot threes. And then in the last two fourth quarters for Philly, he has taken zero shots.
Really?
Now, you compare that with Joel.
Is he scared?
I don't know.
Are they not calling shots for him?
Some people do think he's scared to take the moment. I think Joel Embiid in those same two fourth quarters is 0 of 15 or 1 for 15. So that's working out super awesome for you as well. But I get it. There are some people who think he's scared. Well, guess what? You don't have to be scared here. When the game's on the line, there's no chance in hell they're directing the play for you to shoot it anyway.
It's Luka.
Yeah, so that's just in direct response to the people who are bashing him.
Okay, let me ask you this. This might be a bit of a stretch. Could he be, and I know the three-pointer is a problem here, could he be the Lamar Odom to Luka's Kobe? Like, those were two guys that had a unique skill set. But Luka's clearly the star. Lamar Odom just complimented him so well.
There is no part of me, once he quit on his team at LSU, there is no part of me. It did. It happened. Once he quit on his team there is no part of me that thinks that Ben Simmons needs to be the alpha. And that's why I think Ben Simmons is perfect. I get how people in Philly might be angry, but I mean, Joel Embiid tells you every day that he's the alpha and should have been the MVP. Ben Simmons doesn't need to be the alpha. Just like Luka's like, sometimes I will play defense, sometimes I don't care. Ben Simmons is like, I will always play defense, and sometimes I'll just stop shooting the ball. Well, that sounds like a fit to me.
You couldn't stop Paul George from doing what he wanted in that series, and that hurt you. And maybe he could lock up a Paul or...
For sure.
Or at least keep Reggie Jackson on his toes.
Yes.
And listen.
He'll shut down Reggie Jackson.
I'm not sure what it would take to get a Ben Simmons if they wanted to blow that up. They were like, look, man, we just can't keep doing this with him. We need something else. I'm not sure what it would take. All right. I mean, it would probably cost, you know, draft picks and a player. But, Kevin, if you kept KP and added Ben Simmons... Like, this allows KP to be the player that KP is because of what you can do defensively, right?
Yes. And I don't, oh my God, I did not think I would get this fired up about this topic, but it's starting to infuriate me. How the hell is our offense going to work if Simmons won't even be close to the three-point line? Nah, man, we don't need Ben Simmons. We need shooters. What are we doing? All right. Look at
everybody's been conditioned that it's one guy and everybody stands around and shoots, and that's how you win games.
Look at the players that are on this team. Who are your probably best three or three of your best players? Luka, KP, and Tim Hardaway Jr. If given their own devices, they would take all the shots at all times. Mm-hmm. We do not need, if you just want a special.
And Ben Simmons would be happy defending and rebounding and putback.
If you just want somebody who's going to be like a off-the-bench spot-up shooter, that's what they try to get Redick for. I could find somebody like that tomorrow. And somebody said he is Blake Griffin Jr. That is insane. I will tell you this one more time. If you think he is mentally soft and can't take it in the clutch, I understand that point of view. But Ben Simmons can defend all the positions. He is one of the best defensive players in the league. He averages 8 rebounds and 8 assists and 15 points a game.
All right, so I've seen a couple of different people say, have y'all been paying attention to that Atlanta is killing this great defender in this series? And, hey, to that point, Trae Young gets what Trae Young wants, right?
Yeah, foul calls.
Yeah.
Trae Young is – that, man, that is a misperception about this series, that Trae Young is just unstoppable. Trae Young is putting up a ton of points in this series on really poor shooting night in and night out. Trae Young is getting to the free throw line a ton more than anything. And I get that they're winning. I really, really do. But in this series, Trae Young is 32% from three and 42% from field goal. Woo! For the rest of the field, he is unstoppable. But he also shoots 11 free throws a game. So, like, I get it. He's scoring a lot of points, but it's not because he can do whatever he wants to that defense.
This is actually fascinating, Kevin, because of all the people that we've brought up in the trade consideration discussions, CJ McCollum, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, like every, and listen, these conversations are not going away as we continue to figure out how to build a team around Luka, you know, and it's all only going to get even better whenever whoever GM gets hired and we start that process, because now how does that person make this team, this roster better? But I did not expect to see this many passionate people.
Me neither.
About Ben Simmons specifically, because
me neither.
I guess it's because watching him in the playoffs, you're like, this, because he can't shoot the three, he sucks. Well, when Luka is getting doubled on the perimeter, guess what? That guy just came off of Ben Simmons, who's going to dunk the ball. That's like, there are things that I see that Dwight Powell can't do. He replaces Dwight Powell easy, right? Like, he replaces Maxey in the lineup easy.
Yes.
The only person he can never replace is Boban.
I did see somebody say that. I do want to point out, somebody goes, now you're infuriating me. Your opinion is the only one that's right. If your opinion is Ben Simmons is Blake Griffin, then yes, I will objectively say your opinion is wrong. Otherwise,
Blake Griffin was eventually able to shoot threes.
Yeah, that's right. Ben Simmons could never. Just the people who ignore that defense means anything in this game, that is what is infuriating me. Now, for this person, for the 214, I'd still rather have John Collins than Ben Simmons. Sorry, I like Simmons. I just like Collins more. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you don't think we have the trade assets to get Ben Simmons, you're right. Somebody just asked, Ben Simmons and Shake for KP. Does Philly say no? Philly hangs at the phone and laughs at you. All right, that's how valuable I think Ben Simmons is compared to KP. If you don't think that Ben Simmons is one of the best 15 players in the league, fair. If you don't think we have the assets to get it, fair. If you like John Collins better because of what he can do on the glass and what he can do from three, fair. It's just the people talking about Ben Simmons like he's not a good NBA player is madness to me.
Defensive win share is a number that you seem to like. Lots of people seem to like this. Jimmy Butler is a really good defender, right?
Yeah, he was just second team all defense, something like that.
Number 13 overall.
Okay.
Do you consider Mike Conley a decent defender?
Actually, better than I used to. Yeah. Wow.
Do you consider Spencer Dinwiddie a good defender?
Yeah.
Number one.
Oh.
In defensive win share. Rudy Gobert, what do you think about him?
I mean, he did just win defensive
number
player
four.
Of the year. Wow.
What about LeBron James?
When he gives a crap, yes.
Number five. What about Julius Randle?
Actually, he's gotten much better defensively.
Number six. Ben Simmons is the number nine is number nine in the NBA. When it comes to defensive win share. So if you're taking this series against Trae Young and you're saying, well, I mean, it's clear that he's a bad defender. He's a really good defender. I mean, like, he's better than Paul George, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, as far as defensive win share goes this year. Even Giannis. Giannis is 17 and Ben Simmons is 9. So I'm not trying to force you to take Ben Simmons. We brought it up as a conversation. And we're just saying, would that be a person, even though they can't shoot the three, that would pair well?
Yeah, he does not.
With Luka Doncic. We're just trying to make the team better, dude.
Yeah. And I did see somebody who's like, I don't think we have the assets to pull off. I don't either. But when Corey when Corey brought it up, I was like, hell yeah, I want Ben Simmons on my team. Let's do that. But then again, Corey, if you would have told me at the beginning of the week, hey, you think Dirk will be back with the franchise after we fire Donnie and Rick go somewhere else? I'd been like, no. So, you know what? Maybe KG was right. Anything is possible.
Anything's possible.
And it's interesting. Anything is possible. And then Carmelo and Lala are going to divorce.
Hey. Hey.
All of these things could be intertwined. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, what are the most hostile environments in college football? Plus, Masterpiece of the Week. All of it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We will have Masterpiece of the Week coming up in just a few minutes, so I might blaze through this a little faster than usual. But saw a list from 24/7 Sports, the top 10 hostile environments for college football this season. Love college football now that we're getting the fans back and everything. Want to know if y'all have been to any of these places, so let us know on the fan text 877-881-1053 or what you think is the most hostile environment in all of college football. Number 10.
Clearly not the student section of Alabama based on what
Nick Saban thinks they're soft. Number 10, Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. Those are your Sooners. Hostile environment.
That is a very good football environment, dude. I've been to a few games up there, and I really enjoy. I don't think hostile's the word, but it is a good college football environment.
I don't think hostile necessarily has to mean, hey, dip S, sit down. But like you, like whoa, I think kind of intimidating.
When I think of hostile, I do think of just something that's just like I'm frightened to be here right now because of these fans. And I've never really gotten that. I think they're just really excited to party up in Norman.
All right. Number 9, Camp Randall Stadium in Wisconsin. This was one of the ones that I didn't really think of and wasn't super familiar with.
Is that where they do jump around?
I don't know.
That's Wisconsin. Yeah, don't they do jump around in like the third quarter and they go nuts?
Jump around everywhere.
Yeah, I think they do that up in the third quarter and it kind of gets everybody going crazy.
Phil Knight's Nike money has got things going on for Oregon. They are number 8 at the most hostile stadium. Sanford Stadium in Georgia is number 7. And one of the things that you'll notice a lot on this list, which makes sense, a lot of these teams are either currently good or consistently good over the years. Because otherwise, like, are you getting that hostile of an environment if your team is always not very good?
Well, I don't know, man. Some people are just like, they're all about the fun.
Yeah.
Like, A&M has yell practice for what? Another seven wins?
Can kiss a stranger. Hey!
What?
We got jobbed out of the college football playoff this past year. That's why they expanded it.
For A&M?
Probably not. Number 6, Memorial Stadium, which is generic. This is the Clemson Memorial Stadium.
Yeah. I would say that they've done a really good job of building a good program there. So I would, and I believe that even before Dabo got there, man.
Ohio State. I could absolutely see that. When they get ready, especially like when you're leading into the Michigan game, that environment is hostile as hell. Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Florida. Is it just them doing the chomp at you that kind of freaks you out a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, no, I can see that too. Plus, Florida was really successful while Urban Meyer was there. So they were like, you know what?
That is true.
Let's be hostile because that's what he likes out of people.
From the 817. We don't have time for an Urban Meyer rant, but you're not wrong. Kyle Field from the 817 never has less than 90,000 people, man. People in College Station, probably because there's nothing else to do there besides drink, they'll get out there for a football game against a weak opponent for sure. From the 254, Kyle Field is insane. And from the 940, you can't hear yourself think in Kyle Field.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 3 on the list is Kyle Field.
You don't have to be a great team in order to,
hey,
to get
that is
a rowdy
fair.
Crowd. Because of their,
that is fair.
Their history and their traditions are the reason that they're a rowdy crowd.
And you see this with a lot of these stadiums. When the stadium is in the middle of campus and it's just so easy to get to and the party environment is there before after. Oh, trust me. I have watched many a mediocre, at best, A&M football team. And that place still it stays loud as all get out. Beaver Stadium at Penn State.
I'm sorry, what?
It's called Beaver Stadium. You had to know
they're
that,
the
right?
They're the Nittany Lions, and they Is play in, at Beaver Stadium?
Yeah, and it's in Happy Valley.
What a weird place.
Yeah, it gets so loud that, well, I'm not going to do that. And then number 1, I know this is a place that you've always wanted to go, Saturday night. When there's a good
number 1?
When there's good opponent in town, Tiger Stadium for LSU, the most hostile environment in college football.
This is still bucket list item number 1 for me for sports is I just love the Louisiana vibe anyway.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel about that, but on top of that, like watching these games on Saturday nights, just they look like they're a freaking blast. And talking to Broadus about it before, like he's been like, yeah, man, everything that you feel about what you see is exactly what that experience is like. So.
This is a quality text right here from the 469. The most hostile environment in college is the financial aid office. That is a quality text
We've been there.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Text the word STUNT, STUNT, that's STUNT,
on them.
To 72881 for your opportunity to win $1,000 as part of our national contest brought to you by BetQL. Download the BetQL app and become a better today. Text STUNT to 72881 STUNT for your opportunity to win. And now,
let's give something away.
It's time for Masterpiece of the Week. Sorry, Corey.
All right, this is Masterpiece of the Week. I'm Peyton filling in for Reggie.
Who?
Once again. Reggie?
Oh, where my name. Reggie, dude? You get fired?
I don't know.
I've been here like twice this week, guys.
I've seen a bunch of texts from Reggie telling Peyton what to do.
Man, yeah. Peyton, what are your thoughts about Reggie trying to produce the show while he's driving?
Man, he is backseat producing for sure. He's going to get a phone call after this from me because I can do my own
job. He'll answer it because he's texting while he's in the car.
All right, Masterpiece of the Week. We'll replay some of the weird, funny audio. Most of it's by Mike, though. Where is Mike? He's off this week.
He might be interviewing to become the new GM of the Mavs.
Hope
we
so.
Don't know
All
that for
Mavs
sure.
Fingers crossed. I want him to be the new GM.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can you imagine, like, first off.
Hey, farthead, good game today.
Or if they're bad, trade them or cut them. Like, we may never have a full roster because Mike's going to be like, cut that guy today.
Yeah, we just need Luka.
And he already promised exclusive rights on interviews.
Oh, good point.
Well, I believe on Tuesday, Mike said this before, or Monday, Mike said this.
We might as well wear it at this point.
At Cowboys camp, Jerry wears a giant D hat.
My God!
For Dallas, right?
Holy crap.
I think that was actually Friday that he said that, but where was that going with?
Well, because we were talking about the Lions hat that just has a giant L on it. And they're like, that's not smart because you guys always lose. And then he brought that up of the Cowboys.
And then we got the D on the head. And
yeah, I didn't really think
about
that.
What does that stand for? It stands for Dallas, of course.
What could it stand for?
Do it.
Okay.
I'm not answering this question.
Like Nike says, just do it.
Yeah. With what?
Determinate.
Oh, yeah. Remember that song?
Have you ever heard that song before? It's an amazing song. Thank you, Lemonade Mouth.
Well, Kevin, we had to go back to you and your Hot Pockets take. Oh, you said this.
Little pizza rolls?
I just don't really like, that's not my favorite anymore because I'm not poor. But sorry.
Wow. Oh my God.
Wow.
Okay. Bougie ass Kevin over here.
Kevin's got money to his name.
Hold on. Play that one more time because looking back on it, what makes it really bad for me is I paused. So I clearly didn't just blurt it out.
And then you also put an emphasis on the poor.
Play it one more time. I think I look really bad here.
Little pizza rolls?
I just don't really like, that's not my favorite anymore because I'm not poor. But sorry.
Wow. Oh my God. Wow.
Okay.
Bougie ass Kevin over here. You should have seen his face too when he's like, I know you can watch it on the fan cam.
Like
but
the Grinch.
When he said it, like he was looking me directly in the eyes. So, A, it felt like he was calling me poor for it.
Okay.
Fair.
Which I am. I make the same amount as money. You know, I just have more kids at the moment. But yet, like, that's the look that you gave me at that moment. I was just like, I felt all the poor people's pain that he was talking about out there.
Corey Poor Majors.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry, Pory.
Pory Majors.
Look, for the record, not Hot Pockets, pizza rolls, difference. There's definitely a difference, but
they're both cheap and terrible for you.
But for some reason, I feel like the Hot Pockets are less terrible for you. Less terrible. Not less terrible for you. They're all terrible for you.
Well, Corey does make an appearance here. They were talking about, we're talking about sticky stuff and baseballs, and he had to say this.
Like, that's the whole point. The spitball was something. You can't go to your fingers, and then the mouth go to the fingers, and the mouth and the fingers and the hand. You can't go do all that stuff. Like, they were like, hey, don't worry about it, Reggie. It makes sense. It does make sense. That's what they did. The pitchers, you see pitchers, they take the two fingers.
Uh-huh.
They dampen them on their tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go, you can't go back to the baseball after you've done that. You have to wipe it off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Do you think if the pitchers only went one finger, they could go back to the baseball?
No, you can't lick anything and then put your hand on the ball on the baseball.
What if it's like the pinky and you don't use it on the baseball, you know? I think that counts.
That's a quality
question.
I
don't have a clue, because would you be able to rub the middle of your palm with your pinky and then allow that gets on the ball?
Ooh.
Probably. That seems illegal.
We'll have the Rangers pitchers do it and try it out.
We'll check them.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, during crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation the other day, Corey once again said something dumb.
Oh, we leg wrestled our way out of it, and now we get along just fine.
All y'all had to do was touch butt cheeks.
Huh, that is...
That's big. It's a big bonding thing.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff was really quick to just jump in, but he did tell us the story.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, that's what happened. You guys, y'all didn't just leg wrestle. Your bottoms touched. They had to have touched. Are you trying to say that you can touch another man's leg with your leg without touching his butt?
I wonder about that. I'm going to have to put more thought into that this weekend.
At that time, you pre-soda Kevin, so I'm sure your butt was expansive. Or I've have negative butt?
No, yeah. I've always had negative white person butt.
Okay.
That's a very unfortunate condition. Me and Hank Hill have it for sure. You might be right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't remember.
I just love this person. Kevin probably valets at North Park and drinks bottled water.
Oh, no. How do you think I have all this money? It's because I'm stingy. Never valet park in a mall. What are we doing?
I want to see more texts about what you think Kevin does with all of his expensive money.
As long as
money.
We're just throwing out bombs. I think if you valet park at a mall, that's gross. I think it's gross, and you shouldn't do that.
Well, Corey's back again. We'll get to one more here. He was talking about buying Coke.
I invested in Coke stock yesterday. Yeah, I bought a lot of Coke.
Buying lots of Coke.
Well, because yes.
Whoa.
The drink, right?
Coca-Cola.
I don't think so.
Is also shorthand. Coke is the shorthand version of Coca-Cola, Kevin.
Oh.
So I was not talking about what Pablo Escobar invented.
We were told that in the bathroom once. This is really weird. Play another. No, yeah. If somebody boldly declared that Pablo Escobar invented cocaine in a bathroom once, this is really bizarre. I don't know if they're about to do coke or whatever.
By the way, somebody from the 214 said, did anyone else try to touch their pinky to their palm just now? And I'm curious, when you heard me say that, did you see if you could do it?
If you really want to trip yourself out when it gets hot, lick your wrists.
Yep.
And you'll cool down. I'm really? Not kidding about that.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
I will try that.
It's not going to like save you forever, but it will help you for
a
moment.
Play another one.
All right. We'll get to Kevin. This is the last one we have.
Never
no more
mind.
After this.
I think we're probably done.
Oh, no.
Okay, go ahead. But he's like, I'm going to go do that and go lay on top of my wife.
That got personal.
So get ready, honey.
All right. I'm voting for Kevin's approach to poor people in the Hot Pocket.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
For the record, that was in reference to what Brock Lesnar said after UFC 100. I am voting for Mike and what kind of hat he thinks Jerry Jones wears.
We'll listen to that one more for Mike.
We might as well wear it at this point.
At Cowboys camp, Jerry wears a giant D hat.
My God!
For Dallas, right?
Does it stand for Dallas?
I just want to point out, we're all appropriately concerned that he had said that.
I also want to point out that he said that and has not been back to the office since.
Oh. So we forced him to go to the Bahamas?
Allegedly.
Really, that was really tough punishment right there.
Who knows what happened to Kevin or to Mike there?
I'm still here.
Until the poor people find you.
And that's how you play Masterpiece of the Week?
Now, hold on.
Who'd
hold
you
on.
Vote
yeah,
for?
Yeah, you didn't vote for anybody.
Sorry, I'm going to go with Kevin ratting out poor people again.
There's right, play the winner. Play that again.
That's the winner.
He's not right.
Little pizza rolls?
I just don't really like, that's not my favorite anymore because I'm not poor. But, sorry.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay. Bougie-ass Kevin over here.
I think you were thinking of another word to use than poor.
That's fine.
No, I think he wanted to pause for emphasis.
So people heard it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey.
My favorite part of that clip, though, is Corey going, bougie-ass Kevin over here.
It was a good one, man. That's why it won Masterpiece of the Week. Nice job, Peyton.
Sorry, everybody.
I'm proud of you, dude.
Thank you.
But at least radio is free. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, D&M Leasing brings you our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is ya?
Terrific, Higgy. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. Now, we need to get to something very immediately. Is Jeff had to listen to our show under protest earlier today.
I did, yeah.
Because of, you think, potential tail spinning.
I do.
By Corey Majors when it comes to bowling.
I do, yeah. I was listening, and Corey was talking about how he worked at a bowling alley. And he was like, yeah, I was a 260 bowler, and nobody said anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, 260 seems really high.
It is pretty high.
260 bowler. And the average pro rolls between 230, 250. Like, that's the average score. So, like, Corey announced on your show, just in passing, that he's the greatest bowler that ever lived, and nobody said anything.
You said the average pro, not the greatest pros.
Oh, the greatest pros can go over 260 at a time.
And they're part of the average.
Yes, but they don't average 260.
Yeah.
But
no, I was averaging 260 easy.
Okay.
Never had a 300 game because I collapse under pressure.
Yeah.
But that happens frequently. But I was rolling every day because I was a party host at Jupiter Bowling Lanes.
You don't think the pros roll often?
That's why I was rolling up there higher than some of those pros, Jeff. Obviously, because I was up there doing my thing
every
day.
Did you have, like, the bowling glove and all that stuff like that?
Didn't need that. Just needed some rosin and some
wrist
thing. And to put my hand over.
No wrist thing, right?
I hadn't broken my wrist yet, but I just put my hand over the air thing.
Do you have those?
You know, the thing is blowing out the air.
Did you have shoes?
I did have shoes.
Shoes?
And I had my dad's ball, which was weird because he's a left-hander, and the ball was holes were cut different.
Yeah.
I was still rolling 200s. With a left-handed
260s.
Ball. 260s. Well, 200s with the left-handed ball.
Oh, okay.
It was when I used the orange, like, 7-pound ball. That's whenever I was really rocking it.
Because
it pretty much it was just straight through the pins.
How old were we when we were doing
15.
This? 15.
Yeah, I was good for 2 years.
Why just
happened?
2 years?
Not
yeah,
good.
What happened?
I quit working there.
You're the best.
Not good. You were the best on the planet. You
not
just
the
didn't
best
know
on
it.
The planet. There were people rolling 300s. I saw it all the time up there.
Were you guys spraying the deodorant stuff in the shoes? Is that what you did? Was that
I
your
did not
gig?
Do that job. That was not my job. I did have to. I was the one, like, for the 8-year-old birthday parties.
Oh, the bumper
I was
guys,
the guy
huh?
that was, like, making sure they got their cake. And then whenever, you know, I'd bring out that little, Kevin calls it the dragon, so that you can be dragging these bowling balls down into the lane.
Did
so
you work at a bowling alley that had 16 pins on every lane? Still just trying to do the math.
Is that 16? I'm trying to, it's not 16.
Or would it be 15?
It's 10, isn't it?
You'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, so you'd add 5. 15?
No, I didn't work in a lane that did that. It was Jupiter Bowling Lanes at Garland Road. And
been there.
That, when?
It's like your picture on the wall.
I mean, oh, they're closed now. No, it wasn't on the wall.
Oh,
yeah. But somebody just said, "I wish it would reopen."
Yeah,
the 214.
They closed it a while back, but yeah, man, I bowled all the time. I loved it. It was a blast.
Did you walk all the way down like I used to in skee ball at Chuck E. Cheese when no one was looking? And
I would have to do that for
no.
the parties because there would be that one kid that didn't get the ball all the way down, so I'd have to walk all the way down the median or whatever. To kind of crash it through and just make sure that he was taken care of.
Let me ask you this. If we went bowling right now, could you keep score without using the electronic score?
Yes. I could.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always got confused with that.
Like, that was something I had to learn, was how to run the little computer because I was part of it. You know, I was setting up all these names and everything. But, yeah, I think I could do that.
Dawson, what is an average bowling score for you? Because whenever I bowl, I'm not very good, and if I crack 100, I feel pretty stoked about
it. Same as you. Maybe 90, somewhere around there.
Ron?
I think my best game is around 150.
Ooh, were you feeling it?
Oh, it was great, yeah. A lot of fist pumping.
I get nervous when I get a spare, because then you only get one shot at doubling up your score. Like, with the strike, I'm like, there's no pressure. If I screw this one up, I got one more throw to, like, try to double up my score. When it's a spare, I get nervous.
Very daunting.
And if I ever knock down 9 pins, I cannot get that last pin. For some reason, I throw it where I think it should go, and it's like, nah, I'm going to go over here.
Do we need to have... Is this first station event? Is this what needs to happen?
Oh,
do we need to have a challenge?
I'll buy the beer for everybody.
Is that what you're asking for, Jeff?
Yeah, I know.
I want to be on Corey's team.
What do you roll these days, Core?
The last time I played was with my kids, and I rolled about a 90.
I do want to play you,
But all of them were between my legs.
I'm back in.
Okay. So I didn't roll a single one the right way.
That makes me sad.
All my shots were between underneath by the backside of my legs.
That's where I bowl regular.
Because my kids thought it was funny.
That makes me sad a little bit. He bowls between his legs.
Okay. Yeah.
Multiple strikes that way. I have done that before.
Will Smith did that on a Fresh Prince episode. He went, wah, and he got a strike.
My favorite thing, though, is the kids that would get just past the line and just eat it. You know, like, because it's oily, man. It's
slick.
Once you get past there, you're going to die.
So we talked about Dirk today and him jumping on with the franchise as a special advisor, going to help in the role of picking up the GM. And I wasn't prepared for this immediately. People are like, bullcrap, this is a PR move and a nothing move. What? I saw that, Jeff. What is y'all's take on this? Because to a certain extent, I definitely agree it's PR. Do you think he will have any actual factual say in this, or is it just straight PR?
Yeah, Mark Cuban, you know, he doesn't have a lot of respect for the hardcore Mavs fan. He's doing this for the casual Mavs fan, the people that, you know, aren't paying a ton of attention. They're like, oh, cool, Dirk is back. So any negativity for those people that are just catching headlines and see a little bit about the drama are like, well, it's all good, man. Dirk's in the fold here. It's a big win. And for that percentage of his fan base, you know, it's cool. I think it's an embarrassment for Mark to pull this off, though, for people that listen to sports radio and are hardcore NBA fans and, you know, really can see what he's trying to pull off here. It's a disaster, really. And I would say Mark Cuban's career as an owner right now is in crisis. He's just grasping at straws trying to get something going and you know, really reactionary. He needs to take a step away. The good news is it's a delayed off season. The draft and free, they don't even have any draft picks, so he doesn't have to worry about hiring anybody. But he needs to step way back from this bad boy and get some perspective on everything that's going on before he does anything else. I mean, the good news is having Dirk involved is cool, but the timing is just so fishy and suspicious. It's once again embarrassing for Cubes.
And this might be a longer conversation for another day. If they hired, let's just say, Becky Hammond, do you think people would view this as more PR spin control instead of acknowledging her, like, rise through the ranks in the NBA? Just specifically the Mavericks, not Hammond getting a job anywhere, specifically the Mavericks.
Yeah, I think it'd be fair to wonder, you know, is this a PR move or a pure coaching move? You know, so I think people would wonder, you know, does Mark think that Becky is the best coaching candidate for the job, or is he doing this to generate some sort of goodwill around the team? I think that's fair, and I don't know. Finding the answer would be speculation. You know, I don't want to be unfair to Becky. I think she's a hell of a coaching talent.
I think Becky could be a finalist for this job.
I do too, and that's why I was asking.
And I'll tell you how I think the path that she could be a finalist for this job. If Michael Finley gets his job as the general manager, the fact that he played in San Antonio, specifically with, you know, with her involved, but his relationship with Pop, I think that's where all of a sudden, when you're a general manager, there's certain people that you trust and you'll go talk to. I guarantee you Michael Finley will go talk to Pop about her. She might not get the job, but I bet you when it's all said and done, that she will be one of the two finalists for this job.
And even if we didn't pick her, she might not pick us. Like, she's going to be in the mix for other jobs as well. What do you guys, what do y'all got coming up on the show today?
Pure
more bowling talk?
Pure mofo and gold.
Oh, Haggy. My God.
That's right. It's a Friday. What you drinking, what you thinking at 540. Nadel 520. We got G-Bag of the Day coming up here at 2:30 for you.
That's the first time I think I've ever heard you say that. I'm excited for the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us on Monday. Mike will be back. I bet he has some thoughts. So join the show 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.